But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's a paradox, dear faithful school children, isn't it? That is to say, a seeming contradiction. That's our vocabulary word for this Ash Wednesday, which begins our Lent. Our Lord tells us in the Holy Gospel, when you fast, wash your face. And yet when you come to church on Ash Wednesday, you receive a great black mark upon your forehead, the cross. Well, it's a useful bit of advertising. It's so popular nowadays that even sometimes Protestants have the ashes. Of course, they wouldn't be blessed or anything. It's advertising because what do the ashes remind us of? What Father says to us when we receive them. Remember, thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return. Why do we receive ashes? Not so that people will think that we're fasting, although it's not a bad idea for people to think about such things, and the fact that there are still Christians around, that we're not all done in yet. It's to remind people of religion and of mortality and what we call our last end. Why, though, do we receive the ashes on Ash Wednesday? And why is it such a supremely good little sacramental that inspires in us sorrow for sin so that we can start with a clean slate this Ash Wednesday? We receive our ashes historically, originally, going back to the early centuries, because of humility and charity. Did you ever read about or hear about some poor child, say, or adolescent, who has cancer and has to receive chemotherapy treatments, and as a result of those treatments, which are really sort of a form of poisoning, actually, they kill everything, and we hope they kill the bad stuff while they're at it. Well, the hair falls out. And so sometimes fellow students in a school or members of a sports team will shave their heads out of sympathy with the one who's going through this terrible time to show. It's a way of saying, we're with you. You're not by yourself. That's the idea of fasting with ashes on our head. Because in the early church, those who committed a mortal sin, sort of a public sin that people knew about. I mean, someone who committed adultery or who under pressure worshiped the idols or someone who was a thief, something like that. Well, they had to do penance. And it was on Ash Wednesday that they were given ashes to wear and sackcloth. And then they were sent out the door of the church and they were told to wait there at every Mass until Holy Thursday, when they would be absolved of their sins. As time went on, the other Catholics got thinking to themselves, well, you know, I'm not so good either. I have my sins too. It's too bad for just those few to be singled out. After all, there but for the grace of God, and on the last day, as somebody likes to tell me, on the last day, everything I whisper in the confessional will be trumpeted by the angel's blast. So others got up quietly at first, I think, and very humbly, and they joined the line, and they got their ashes too. Well, they didn't go outside on the porch and wait there during the Mass of the Faithful for 40 days, but they did wear ashes on the first day to say, I'm a sinner too. So that's how that really got started. That's another paradox, though, isn't it? That is to say, you're all the time being told, go to Mass. And if I see too many people sort of wandering in and out during the Mass of the Faithful, I'll say or write something about it because you're supposed to be at Mass. But in the early centuries, the people understood it was a privilege to be at the Mass of the Faithful. And those who were doing penance, why, they had to stand outside and wait. Never mind, back then they used to pray very well. It wasn't like being bored and getting a drink and seeing what's going on down in Helfta Hall with the donuts. No, nothing like that. It was very serious. on Monday, we just had St. Casimir. And he, well, St. Wenceslaus is another saint like that. They were lay saints. They were kings. And the priest would have the doors of the chapel shut overnight and then open them in the early morning. But for their devotion, these saintly kings would come and they would wait even in the winter and pray outside the closed door of the church. So you can pray that way. And indeed, we should pray at all times, everywhere. And that's one of our Lenten lessons, isn't it? Being humble and charitable and praying always. Paradoxes. The Catholic faith is full of them. So, for example, our church is the church of saints. It is holy. That's one of her four marks. And yet, who are we? We are sinners. Are we members of the church? Indeed we are. See, that's another seeming contradiction. But each one of these oppositions you can solve with a little bit of thought. And if you're not sure, you could ask your parents or the priest or somebody who might be able to help you to solve that. Well, the last paradox I thought I would give you today is one of the saints whom we commemorate, who happens to be one of Father Lectoranda's favorite saints, and her name is Saint Colette. She was born Nicolette, and she got known as a little girl as Colette, and she came in the 15th century when, you know today how it's very confusing for people to accept the fact that there isn't a pope and there hasn't been not a real pope for a long time because the popes are, so-called popes, are heretics and they don't profess the Catholic faith and they teach error and heresy and apostasy. Well, during her time, there were a number of popes, up to three at the same time, and no one was quite sure which one was the real one, and there was a confusion called a schism, only none of them were heretical, which God forbid. Well, because of the confusion in the church and all of the splits and divisions, we know a little bit about that today, people let up a little bit on the holiness, and what, because it doesn't take much for us, does it? And then even though Franciscans and especially poor Clara nuns were supposed to be very penitential and go around barefoot and never even sleep in a bed at night and fast and abstain all year round as though it were Ash Wednesday without a break, they got away from that stuff. They got being a little bit worldly. It's the same thing for us, isn't it? That is to say, when we go to confession or have an Ash Wednesday, we think to ourselves, right, I'm not going to do any of those bad things again, and I'm going to do this and this and this. I resolve to sin no more, to do penance, to atone for my sins. And then what happens? Well, we get hungrier, we get snapping at people, or there's some sort of a temptation that's just too good to resist, and so we don't. And we have to do the same thing all over again. Well, St. Colette's a good saint for that. She didn't want to, but Almighty God raised her up. She was a hermitess, and she lived in a little hut. And one day, a Franciscan friar came to see her. He was a well-known and rather holy friar. And he told her, God wants you to do the job, Sister Colette. You've got to reform the nuns and make them be good again, and the friars too. And he had the other friars take the door off her hut to symbolize, now it's time for you to go out. And she went from place to place all over Europe, and she preached to the sisters and to the friars, and she got them to go back to following the old rules, to have a reform, even though it would have been a much harder life, so it was. And so finally, she helped many people to go to heaven who wouldn't otherwise. She had a vision, the same as the children at Fatima. She's had a vision of souls falling into hell like snowflakes. It snowed a little bit around 8 o'clock this morning. Did you see that? Well, that's people going to hell. And so someone has to be helping them. And what do we have to do? We just have to start over again. Not make a big fuss about it. Get to confession. Resist the occasions of sin, make our promises, not too many, but a few good ones, keep the fast and the abstinence rules, and obey God's commandments. And do it all because we love him. Little Saint Colette, she was very small, and her father was disappointed because she didn't seem to be growing, and so she prayed that she would grow, and then she did. And she was very beautiful, These are paradoxes, too. And she prayed not to be quite so pretty, because it would be a distraction. And then our Lord changed her face and gave her rather a severe-looking face instead. Little St. Colette did that in the 15th century when all the church was divided and torn. Almighty God means for us, in our day and age, despite all of the problems and all of the divisions, that we should increase in sanctity, that we should really be holy. And it starts now. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.